on, Dom. Armor up.
I've got crops to take care of. If we don't grow it, we don't eat it, remember?
I think the radishes can cope without you for a while.
Okay, let's get this over with.
All right. Well, we're all what? Because I laid out some ground rules? Yeah. Two R words are almost sort of off limits in the first segment while people who fire are listening.
Yeah, that's
true. They'll never make it
to
the end of the
month. You have to say that in the first segment.
Oh, shit.
You fucking moron.
Shit. Gotta start over again.
Shut up.
No. Hey, look at that. Sound effects. Hi, everybody. Talk Rider 178. GamesRadar.com's third most exclusive podcast. I think third. Is in there a Talk Radar UK? Is that still happening?
Yeah, I think it's on hiatus.
Oh,
it's hiating.
There's also Pokemon Monday, also on hiatus.
Mm-hmm. See, I returned from vacation to record this thing. I guess I should say I am Christopher Antista.
I'm Michael Raparez.
I'm Tyler Nagata.
And introducing Game Radar newest employee.
Hi, I'm Hollander Cooper.
Sorry. I just got my sound effects back in the sound effect
app. I'm known to break combos. Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah. And where do you hail from?
I hail from sunny Pennsylvania.
Sunny Pennsylvania?
Or sunny Philadelphia.
Is it always sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, that'd be a much better joke if I was actually funny.
Man, we all like Three Stooges the doorway to like get to that.
Waka, waka, waka. I knew it was coming. I saw it. I took a step back.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, everybody. Well, guess what we had to talk about? Well, wait, let's. You're from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
And I'm still. You said I could call you Coop.
Yeah, that works.
That works.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Hollander, though.
That also works.
Where does that name come from?
That's my middle name.
It's your middle name.
Yes.
Okay.
My first name is Jonathan, but there are far too many Jonathan Coopers for me to like kill all of them and be the only one.
That sounds
very. But you gain their power when you killed them.
So far, none of them I've found have been all that powerful.
The fewer John Coopers there are in the world, the more powerful the remaining ones become.
Yeah, I'm not sure
if that Jet Li movie taught me anything.
I'm not sure if you Mayflower people have the same Highlander kind of powers. Like, there's a lot of similar names. Anywho, hi everybody. Look, I got my computer back from the airport, and it's loaded up a really old soundboard. So, did you hear that?
Yeah.
All right. So bear with me, but yeah. Soundboard is back. I'm excited about that because everybody last week for Elson's first day out wanted the old BrettBot soundboard, and I found that.
Hey, shut up. This is Brett.
There you go. We'll have little bits of Elson that I'll exploit.
Wow, it's like there's a Capcom employee in the room. Yeah.
Yes.
It will always be a part of Games Radar.
That's true.
Yeah, we have that. We have I'll compliment you on that later. We have a cool top 7. Tyler Gatta and Hollander Cooper here. Like, you guys, is it fair to say you're newsy? Your newsishness?
Yes.
Yeah?
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a...
John is technically our new news editor.
That's correct.
News editor.
And
yes.
It's part of Games Radar's push to bring you more news every day. So you may have noticed there's more news on the site, and that's a good thing. That means you're doing your job.
Yeah. It's really win-win, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody's, it's going quite smoothly. But, I mean, you kicked ass this week. And TGS helped, having a lot of news. We'll discuss that later on. We're going to do a 2-segment show, guys. I swear the community segment will go on. We'll continue next week. I just came back from vacation, just hooked up my computer, just got it back from TSA. And Charlie Barrett will come
in. That sounds like a lot of excuses in a row.
It's a ton of excuses, but they're all true. The big thing I do today. Anywho, Charlie Barrett will be here in the second segment, replacing you two, which doesn't say anything of your status. You're not a 3/5.
Will he get our powers?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, whatever power, just give him
some
one of your
them.
Powers.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have to be not things you're willing to share.
I will give him one of my powers too, which it doesn't work so well anymore, but I can give all Nazis diarrhea whenever I want. That's right.
That's a pretty good power.
Didn't need to laugh at all. You know what works really well on microphone? Cold silences.
I was just trying to imagine that as like a perk in the Call of Duty game.
That's
like instead of the nuke, you get it up high and then it's just like hit the button and everyone just starts shitting themselves.
Nazi diarrhea.
Yeah. Siren starts.
This is a really old soundboard.
I'll
like
give
I haven't
my power of reason.
Some of these, and no, she'll have a fart.
Right.
Oh, I should have used
that. That would have been appropriate.
I have a dolphin. Yeah. All right. Anywho, back
that's
to,
like the every dolphin sound.
Back to games. It's I'm tired. I'm out of sweat. It's hot in here.
It's hot in here.
Welcome back, everybody.
So take off all your clothes.
Ooh. All right. I did just set my chest hair on fire. You want to see that later?
No.
It looks kind of cool. It seems to give me like strange definition to like my lumpy, flaccid
gonna,
body.
You going
to
start waxing?
No. That's too vain.
I just would much rather but burning it off is fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a controlled burn, like what rangers do to the woods.
Uh-huh. And he only burnt certain parts, so that way if he ever has his chest naturally catch on fire, the entire thing won't go up in flames.
Awesome. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm prepared for everything, except for the top seven, which was...
which was top seven historically inaccurate historical games.
Which is awesome. I was Tyler downstairs, this is like, if you boil down what this is, somebody written by somebody with an encyclopedic knowledge of games... written by someone who's a history buff.
Mm-hmm.
There's like three people who can write this article, and we have one of them.
And it's all of them worked at Cracked.
So we got the fourth guy who could almost write it.
Yeah. No, I know you're a history buff, so I love these articles when you really dig into historical inaccuracies. You had a similar one, right?
I had the historical figures defamed. By games.
Like, I love that one.
But yeah, this one, it was inspired by two of the entries in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And the first entry,
I got it. I have the number set.
Sweet.
Man, it's not lifeless anymore. That's great.
Uh-oh.
But number seven is Assassin's Creed.
Fuck that game and its stupid face.
Brett bought that Capcom employee, quit buddy. I wonder if I could get him in trouble. We didn't even invite you here.
Oh, well.
I'm a big fan of Assassin's Creed. And that fandom has led me to actually read various books about the Assassins, most notably Alamut, on which Assassin's Creed is partially based. And it's another one that's written by kind of a crackpot called The Templars and the Assassins, The Militia of Heaven. But...
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about this. That these were, I really didn't know the Assassins were real people.
They were. They were. They operated mostly in Persia and Syria in like the 11th, 10th century, or 11th and 12th centuries,
that,
I think.
That was the fascinating part is that you said their goal was to kill people publicly and basically like...
Well, it's interesting. It's like, well...
Early terrorism.
Yeah, well, it's sort of early terrorism, but it's sort of the opposite of terrorism in that the objective of terrorism is to generally to target civilians and create as big a spectacle as possible to generate fear. And this was more to generate fear in the ruling classes that made the decisions, because you're going after the one guy who's in charge or his right-hand man if you want to send a message. And, that avoids a lot of bloodshed. And it also kind of addresses the problem. It's like, well, we have, like, the Assassins had an army, but it wasn't like a big enough army to take on this empire that they were trying to operate around. And so it's like, well, it's much better if we just train these really smart young guys, and like make them these super soldiers basically. Mm-hmm. And, but in terms of like their ability to use disguise no hidden blades, just knives. I know. I was disappointed too.
And ninja smoke bombs.
No. That's bombs. The other thing. This is the key of the
gliders.
The cornerstone of this is the inaccuracy, which is that the real assassins were. I mean, in the game, they have all the ninja tools. They can climb walls. They run away really fast. They dash across rooftops. They always have these daring escapes. Real assassins never actually escaped. Like they were fanatics. They believed that on the completion of their mission, whatever it was, whether it's like kill this guy or throw yourself off this roof to make a point, that when they died, they would immediately go to paradise, and that they were serving, you know, God's will. And so when they would kill someone, they wouldn't try to escape. They would just wait for death because it's like, now I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now I can go to paradise. Mm-hmm. Like, this will be great. So, but it's sort of like suicide bombers in that way, and that
I was going to say, they're
martyrs basically. It's self-imposed martyrdom, and when I made that comparison to suicide bombers. A lot of people in the comments were like, that's not fair. You're calling them terrorists. Like, one
so guy, they were basically, but America.
No, well, like one guy thought they were mercenaries for some reason. Like, no, they were like the assassins. There are a few documented cases of them accepting money for assassinations, but I've read several scholars who think that, like, well, they would do that, but only if they were already planning to kill that guy, in which case, like, yeah, you want to give us money for this? Sure. Okay. Well, we were going to do it anyway, but we're not going to tell you that.
While we're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Might as well.
Exactly. But, yeah, and another guy was like, well, the whole point of Assassin's Creed is, like, this is a secret history, and... they're saying like, oh, we'll let the world see us as monsters, and like, of course they give the impression of being terrorists, so the game acknowledges that, so it's weird that you would pick on this. I'm like, well, no, it's not the monsters thing that I have a bone to pick with. It's just they didn't escape. Like, it's documented from various sources that they never tried to run away.
And that's sort of the point of Assassin's Creed. You have to get in, the kill, and then...
And then you run away.
And you have so many tools to run away.
So you can give you birth kill everyone and have who's descendants. Makes it kind of hard to give birth to descendants.
Yeah. And, you know, it would kind of be a very different game if, like, every mission that you successfully completed, you died and were replaced by a different character.
After you stab them in the throat and kind of drop them down and they give their little speech, you then just, like, get down on one knee and it's like, all right.
Yeah. It's basically like you're giving yourself up for arrest at that point.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time, like, you just killed our king. Fucking kill him. You know, they wouldn't arrest somebody back then. They might. I mean, there were cases where assassins returned alive, but it was mainly because they were just let go.
Right.
I love this. Should we go see
you really?
I do.
Let me talk unhindered. This is rare.
Brett?
That research me look on box back.
I did look on box back.
You always look on box back.
I look on box back of history.
Always look on box back.
Buy history at store. Look on box back.
It is number six because I still have yet to
Medal of Honor Underground.
Number six.
There we go. Yeah. Found it.
Right? Huh? Fuck. Number. There you go.
There it is.
Number six. I did it already. Where were you guys?
We were right here listening to you fumble.
Right.
Oh well.
But yeah, Medal of Honor Underground.
Which one was?
It was
this?
The second one on PS1. One. Yeah, and it's Medal of Honor was, it's kind of gotten muddied now, but...
Was this EA or still DreamWorks?
EA.
Okay.
Well, it was DreamWorks and EA. But it was, like, back in the day, like, I forget sometimes, like, the first couple Medal of Honors were, like, Steven Spielberg was working on these. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this is the video game version of Saving Private Ryan. We're going to approach World War II with respect and delicacy and historical accuracy. And then that kind of went off the rails as early as the second game, where you're playing this female French resistance fighter named Manon, which is cool. And she's based on a real person who actually, she wasn't really a commando so much as she was like a scout and she was a spy and posed as a secretary for the Vichy government. But in the game, you get ordered to go to Wavelsburg, which is the castle that Wolfenstein was based on, and is like him the headquarters of the SS. Like this was Himmler's castle. It was the seat of his little weird SS state that he wanted to make within the Third Reich. And so it's kind of weird, the idea that like we're going to send a French woman alone into this heavily guarded castle where if she's spotted, she won't have any chance to blend in. And we're going to order her to steal back this Knife of Abraham, which, let's not even touch that. The thing is, there's fucking knights in medieval armor in this castle who will charge you with swords and shields, and that is bullet resistant. Like, you can empty a clip at them when they're holding their shield up, and it won't hurt them unless you, like, hit them in the head. It's like, that's completely ridiculous.
It's also gameplay.
It's gameplay, but if you're talking about a game that's historically accurate,
yes,
you're not going to have Nazi knights running at you in bulletproof armor, because medieval armor isn't fucking bulletproof.
It's heavy.
It's heavy, but bullets will go straight through it. That's why nobody wears it anymore.
And when you do that, you really disrespect the greatest generation of teenagers with regenerating health.
Yes.
Like you really.
Well, who can regenerate their health by finding large packets marked with a red X.
Yes. Damn it. I don't have any of my cool stuff up. Hi. Hi. All right. Sorry. Where are we?
We're at number five.
Number five! Brad Alston?
I learned English from coloring books.
There we go. I do that all day.
Gosh, what is number five? I've forgotten. Oh, it's Rome Total War.
Rome Total War.
This was your suggestion.
Yes. Rome Total War was an extremely... If anyone who's ever played the Total War series knows that the developers go to great lengths to kind of recreate the scale of these medieval conflicts, whereas like in StarCraft or whatever, you'll have like, oh, you have 100 guys, you'll have tens of thousands of units, and they try to make them as realistic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to kind of err on the side of gameplay, and they can really only go so far remaking history. So they had to kind of change things up to make it more interesting. And it's not stuff that like, it's not stuff that's really... I'll say is interesting to kind of it really isn't, because it's like these units didn't exist yet, and these didn't units didn't exist yet. But the interesting part is that there were some fans who were so angry that they made a complete modification. Yes, and what was the name of the mod?
Rome Total Realism.
Yes, Rome Total Realism, where they actually
went in. I love
that
screenshot.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, no, oh, I'm sorry, these guys didn't actually have these weapons. We have to change it for these weapons.
Well, some of the choices, I mean, I'm sure they were made in the interest of better gameplay, but some of the choices that were made in the original were a little weird, like dividing Rome into three different factions.
That happened eventually, right?
Rome was always unified.
Right.
But yeah, I kind of get it, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you're probably not going to have, like, you know, bright green Roman soldiers on Battlefield at the time, but
right. And but it's just interesting.
It is more fun that way.
It is, and they didn't go as far as like putting Nazis in knight's gear, but it's just so interesting that people were still like, this just won't do. This game with 98% realism simply won't work. So they nitpicked and found every single little thing and created an entire modification to fix them all.
To be fair, some of the things are pretty big, like
the Egypt thing.
That's kind of fair enough.
It's like,
we based this version of Egypt more off like the
Elizabeth Taylor movie.
What? No, like the 1000 BC version of Egypt or something like that.
Which is like 1,000 years earlier than the game takes place. Yeah. So it's like, well, let's just give them these units that they would have no reason to use 1,000 years later.
Does Rome's Total War still end on the moon?
The prologue does.
I'm thinking of Civilization V. It's all right. It's all right.
I don't know if Rome Total Realism is any fun. I mean, I didn't play it, but I did read a couple reviews, and they all said one thing, that like, this makes the game less so fun. Much longer. they decided like, well, a real army wouldn't be able to move this quickly or to kill this quickly or this efficiently. So let's make everything take a lot longer.
Well, you know, it wasn't built in a day. Years.
Yeah, I know, but it's a game. It's a motherfucking game.
I lost my funny sound effect.
I was going to say, there has to be a sound effect for that. I just don't know what it is.
I'm getting there.
Waka waka.
It's realistic pacing, Chris.
Oh, I forgot what it was.
A real host wouldn't be able to find a sound effect that quickly.
I suck.
I just love the idea behind Rome Total Realism. It's so interesting that it's like they found every tiny thing and were like, let's just fix it because this version didn't do it.
And it's a series too. There are multiple versions of this mod out. Apparently they has a big fan community that contributes stuff, and so they've come out with like 3 or 4 of them.
Like, better late than never. I got it. I forgot. I didn't have any Rome Total War. Total War Rome sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
But I did dig up your sound effects from Shadows of Rome during the top 7 characters deep in. Okay. Oh, good. I can reuse those.
Spoiler.
We only have so much history to be inaccurate about. We have like 3,000 years.
All right, Brett Elston. What do you think? What was your favorite part of Rome Total War?
A robot elephant shooting a ball at you. Number
4. Strangely, that was kept in Rome Total Realism.
Yes.
There were elephants and there were balls.
Yes. Hey, they gave balls to the elephants in the name of realism. But number 4 is the Saboteur. And this is the other game that inspired the piece, because when I played it, as much as I liked the game, like the beginning of it just made me shriek at the TV. And it's like, that's not how World War II fucking started! What the hell?
Wait, how did World War II start?
World War II started in 1939.
Can you make this quick?
In Europe, when Germany annexed Poland, France, and the UK declared war 2 days later. And then 8 months later, Germany actually invades France by going through Belgium and the Ardennes forest to skirt around the Maginot Line, which is this enormous line of anti-aircraft guns and turrets and machine gun nests that France has set up along the border just to stop Germany from coming over. And so, yeah, that's 8 months after there was fighting going on. And Saboteur's version of it, it begins in 1940. Things are friendly enough between France and Germany that you can just go over the border to participate in an auto race.
And, to be fair, they really liked auto races.
Yeah. That's true.
It was sort of that was almost the thing that held the world together.
Yeah, and. They didn't
have soccer yet.
But, okay, France's side of the border, completely undefended. Germany's side of the border, gigantic concrete bunkers, towering gates, completely impenetrable looking. And so, yeah, and then Germany decides to invade shortly after the race, and France is completely unprepared, and that's how the war starts. And it starts with France getting invaded and surrendering. Whereas, you know, France did do a lot of fighting for those first 8 months of the war. They were pretty important, and you're just making them
look like
a bunch of schmucks.
I'm not sure if they were a nation until America saved their ass, or at least
America.
That's what I hear on AM radio.
Oh, okay.
They weren't even really a people until...
No, you're right. Louis XIV is actually American.
I believe we took America to the stealth mission, and we rescued all of the French people. All at once.
They owe us everything.
And you know what? Well, my grandparents weren't in the war. I'm going to take credit for that.
Okay.
Me, as an American
personally.
White male. Yes, yes.
And as a as somebody who had a Jewish grandmother in France during the early 1940s, thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
She sounded like she had a good time, though, right?
A blast. A blast.
Oh, I don't even know how to deal with this subject. What did I just start? I know Wolfenstein Hitler.
You started a bloody war. That was even worse than the Irish accent in the game, which is, by the way, one of the worst fucking Irish accents ever.
You know, I do have an old folder. Keep talking for a second, Michael.
That was my bad impression.
Kill time until he finds
a
folder that labeled Irish accents.
Right, yes.
No, I have a top 7 worst accents.
Yes, that I also did.
And I may be in
there.
Was
Saboteur on there?
Yes.
I think Saboteur inspired it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think Saboteur.
What was it?
I'm pretty sure Saboteur.
If that wasn't it, what was it?
If what wasn't it?
Saboteur.
Maybe Mercenaries 2? Like, Mercenaries 2 had some rough
accents. No, it wasn't Mercenaries 2.
There's that maybe one guy who's just sounds
there was
like
Heavy
death.
Rain.
Ooh, that one's good.
Yeah. I do have
the American kids playing.
And every character sounds like
I can do it all right, just you watch.
Jason!
It's like, I believe that you live in Pennsylvania. That works for me.
I don't know what these are, but I do have Saboteur files.
I'm glad you finally decided to join us.
We took the scenic routes.
You aren't into any trouble?
Just the usual groupies, looking for autographs.
My God!
That's the same voice actor who does Travis Touchdown, by the way.
What the fuck?
Doing a Travis Touchdown
impression. It sounded like just one of those YouTube videos of like 100 voices
that is
in 10 minutes.
The game's version of an Irish accent, a French accent, and an Italian accent.
Let me hear some more.
The Nazis are in a fury. They've been arresting suspected rebels. Sean... They took Vittore.
Where?
La Villette. The old slaughterhouse. The prisoners are going to be shot. We must do something.
There is no turning back now. In for a penny, in for a fucking pound.
Oh, last one.
You see that man standing over there?
The one grinning like a cat with a cream-flavored arsehole?
He's called Santos.
That sounded...
It's like somebody watched Boondock Saints and was like, that's what I'm going to do. That right there.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do an impression of Doc from Fraggle Rock screaming in an Irish accent. Oh, man. Can I go one fucking podcast without mentioning Fraggle
Rock? Also, I just want to say there's fucking Zeppelins in the Saboteur, which were completely decommissioned by the time World War II started, because after the Hindenburg, even the Nazis didn't want to have anything to do with them.
And from what I saw from my PlayStation with Saboteur, I got to say, the Rocketeer fights for America, not Germany. That was also in there.
Number 3!
Let's end in a bad joke. Oh, or Brett Elston.
Fuck that game and its stupid face.
You keep talking. That's number 3.
Number 3 is Robin Hood, Defender of the Crown.
What the fuck is that?
Well, it comes from that the long line of obviously historically correct Robin Hood games.
Oh, yes, yes. And Cinemaware games. It's actually an update of the old Defender of the Crown game, which is not historically accurate either, but slightly more historically accurate than this. This kind of...
Is there Robin Hood... I think he's basically acknowledged as a myth now. That's how we know.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give a little background on the real Robin Hood?
Is there like a Saint Nicholas?
So many fucking different stories. I mean, people are probably familiar with at least 2 or 3 of them by now. But
I prefer Kevin Costner.
Basically, he was a bandit.
Russell Crowe here.
He was a bandit who operated in Sherwood, assuming he existed at all, and you know, around Nottingham, and. Some stories said he gave what he stole to the poor, and that made him into a folk hero. And then, like, they added all these weird things in the intervening centuries about how, like, oh, no, he's actually a secret nobleman because our audiences are nobles, and they won't accept a hero who doesn't come from their classes.
Not at all.
No.
Never.
Never.
No.
Nah.
Nah. Who is this Robin Hood?
My word.
My word.
But yeah, and you know, he's always at loggerheads with the sheriff, and sometimes the sheriff's a bad guy, sometimes the sheriff's a beleaguered public servant, sometimes Robin Hood's played by Sean Connery,
sometimes the sheriff is Richard Lewis,
sometimes
when Mel Brooks
is a fox,
sometimes he's a fox. He was a bear. Oh, he was Slim Pickens in the Disney version. Oh, shucks, Robin Hood is out there Robin and Hooding. Oh man,
what are we gonna do?
Prince John is gonna have my asshole. That's not from the Disney movie.
Yes, it is.
No, it is.
Yes, it is.
A pox on the phony king of.
I found out something interesting about the Disney Robin Hood while I was researching this.
What's that?
That it started out as an adaptation of a different folk hero named Reynard the Fox.
Really?
But it was decided that Reynard was maybe not a suitable hero for a children's movie because he's actually kind of an anti-hero, so they picked Robin Hood instead.
But they kept the fox.
Yeah.
I think Disney was doing that for a while. They had the Davy Crockett
I actually,
folk hero.
I blame that movie for the rise of the furry movement on the internet. I don't think it would exist
without.
Why
that movie?
Why not that movie?
There wasn't other Disney movies with walking, talking animals?
Not that sexy.
Not that sexy.
Not that sexy.
look at fucking Maid Marian.
Lady Cluck.
And look at Robin Hood and tell me that didn't play a part in any Even girl's bosoms. Early sexual development.
I think you should admit that somewhere in the forums in the comments. He does seem like a cartoon character women would have a crush on.
Yeah.
That probably. Robin Hood in the Disney version is slick. Like that shitty bemulleted Kevin Costner.
He's like a proto George Clooney.
Yeah.
Are there any, but anyway, let's talk about the fucking
excuse
game.
Excuse me.
Because the game takes place, shortly after the Third Crusade, when King Richard was being imprisoned by King of Austria, Leopold V.
Patrick Stewart.
And sure.
Men in tights.
And wow, you're really derailing my train of thought.
Sorry.
In the game, basically, Prince John decides he's going to seize control and like, no, Richard's actually dead. No, I won't raise a ransom for Richard. I'm suddenly played by somebody drunk. So Robin gets tapped by like Maid Marian and Friar Tuck, and they come along and is like, you've got to save England, Robin. And so he's like, okay, I guess I'll lead an army and be dashing and... then he's just like, why am I doing this? I'm going to rob some fucking stagecoaches. And
his best green tea.
So yeah, it's basically Robin Hood leads armies to conquer England. And he also collects the ransom for King Richard through taxation. And in real life, that ransom was being collected through taxation by Prince John and his mother, Eleanor of Aquitaine, so they could get Richard back. And... it was such a ridiculous amount of money for the time that it put a lot of pressure on, you know, the lower classes, and In some versions, those heavy taxes are exactly what Robin Hood is rebelling against. Mm. So he's basically been turned into what he's supposed to fight against.
Done, done, done.
Exactly. And it's just a very weird adaptation of the Robin Hood myth and of history. And it has very little to do with history. And I think in the end, you kill Prince John when, in fact, Richard had the...
What about a snake sidekick?
Hmm?
What about a snakely sidekick?
No, Sir Hiss. But
Sir Hiss is always ignored when it comes to
interrupt
pop
you with such questions for so long.
Yeah.
What part in the game do you kiss people in the rings so to steal their jewels?
Unfortunately, none of them. But they should have added that as a mini game.
Yeah.
And also there's not
many people know that Robin Hood invented bling once you kiss the jewels.
Not one
ring.
Mention of the word oodalale.
Oodalale. Oodalale.
I want to know where the fuck that came from, because I have never even heard mention of that word outside of that movie.
I know.
Yeah? Tell me.
Disney was really good at coming up with spontaneous words so as to fit with a written chorus and not have to write lyrics to it that would be in any way hard, difficult, or subversive.
Makes sense.
Oodalale, supercalifragilistic. I can go on. But I won't, because Robin Hood, right?
Yeah, I guess, you know, oodalale makes sense if he needed something to rhyme with fuck.
Oh, those old Disney movies.
It's true, it works.
Cool, bowling.
Thanks, Brett.
Number two
is Bladestorm, The Hundred Years' War.
What?
Which is, kind of came and went and was immediately forgotten, but was basically Koei, the team that does Dynasty Warriors, trying to do kind of something similar for the Hundred Years' War. And
yeah, I mean, it's, Gundams.
Yeah, and Gundams, but just the Hundred Years' War in this case. And it was just kind of silly. I mean, yeah, you know, on a historical level, like, right away, it's like people are running around on foot in full plate mail, which would never have happened. And, I mean, it has the usual Dynasty Warriors kind of school of design, like, important historical figures are now very young men with shoulder-length hair and midriff-exposing armor. Some characters are now ninjas for some reason. There are war elephants on the battlefield in France and England.
I didn't have an elephant sound
but
effect.
So why this? Why this on the list and not any giant crabs?
I actually talk about that in the intro. Ooh. Because that's too fucking obvious. anything like Genji with its giant crabs and demon-powered enemies, or Jeanne d'Arc with its "the King of England is possessed by a demon," and Joan of Arc has been given magical Sailor Moon transformation powers by a crystal she found, or whatever the fuck it was.
But this is a Koei game.
I know, but like the Koei games... Like
this is the take
my
the
impression
piss out of games
them,
that purport themselves to be
sort of
based in some authenticity.
It's somewhat authentic. Like, okay, the Koei games, like, it's a little bit ridiculous. You have, you know, one guy beating up an army, but like the events and the characters are still taken from Romance of the Three Kingdoms and this whole, you know, era in Chinese history. And this is just, there's no fucking elephants. There's no fucking elephants in Europe, Western Europe at this time.
A robot.
Certainly
elephant.
Not in numbers that you could
Brett
use
brings up a good point. Robot
cavalry.
Elephants?
No robot elephants. All right. Just the regular kind.
Elston, I wish you would chime in more appropriately next time. It's all right. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You all right?
Why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. You just sighed afterwards like, fuck.
I miss Brett.
Fuck. Aw. That's sweet. You guys might have something to do later. Hey, we should go to number one.
Yes, we should.
Number one.
Now you can use the sound effects because it's Shadow of Rome.
Yay! Like this... I don't know. What? Tell me about Shadow of Rome.
Rome is a ridiculous mess with surprisingly fun gameplay that is marred by terrible, terrible stealth sequences.
Sounds like an average adventure game.
It's kind of
the PS2
gameplay wise is divided into two halves. One, you're playing as this character Agrippa, who's based on Marcus Agrippa, who was in real life a general of Octavian, aka Augustus.
It's a different
Caesar.
Marcus. I thought I had a
right. And you're fighting in the arena, and that part is fun, and it's really gory, and you're constantly impaling people with spears and chopping off their limbs. And then the other part is you're playing as Octavian, who goes on to become Augustus Caesar in real life. And you're just kind of sneaking around these old Roman mansions trying not to be seen. And if you get seen, then it's an instant fail and it sucks. But the thing is that, like, it takes these weird liberties with history, and it doesn't with, like, a really well-known time period. Like, it begins with the assassination of Julius Caesar, and in real life, like, that was... The killers just, like, mobbed him in broad daylight in the forum. There's a bunch of guys. They all stabbed him, and they made no attempt to hide their identities because they thought, we just slew a tyrant. Rome will hail us as heroes. And besides, we're noble, so who the fuck's going to touch us anyway?
I'm thinking of the scene in Rome. Mm-hmm. Like, is that on a scale of one to accurate?
That's a lot more accurate than this was. Mm-hmm. In the game...
Was it a 9 accurate?
I would say probably an eight or nine.
There were only two levels on the scale.
Accurate.
it was pretty accurate. But there were slightly differing accounts of that, but I won't get into that.
But how do they portray it in the game?
They portray it in the game as, somebody killed Caesar. He's been found dead. Who could have done this? I hope we solve his mystery.
Gorge.
And so... Agrippa comes home and finds out that his father has been framed for the crime, and he tries to free his parents, and his mother is killed by Decius Brutus, who it turns out is the real killer, and who's actually an amalgam of like the famous Brutus, who was Caesar's nephew. And
yes,
not Guido Brutus.
I heard it was Christopher. Man, I really Santistas threw you off in the parlor. Yeah,
and this other Decimus Albinus Brutus somethingus. But he's just like this ridiculous fucking villain, and he
curly mustache.
No, missing that. But he does have like this weird cloak that makes it look like a lion is biting his shoulder. So there's that.
He has that going for him.
Yeah, he does. He does. And,
that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, he eventually. I mean, I'm gonna spoil a 6-year-old game here, but he dies in the arena, and then it turns out.
Off.
It turns out Mark Antony was behind it the whole time, and we're gonna go to Egypt and fucking kill Mark Antony, even though like that happened a long time afterward in real life, and it
back
wasn't
when he was married to General Lopez.
Yeah, and it wasn't. Well,
almost got it out.
Yeah. He's Antonius in the
No
game.
One's ever made that connection, by the way,
no,
until right
nobody,
now.
Nobody. Christ. What was
it? Sorry, powering? I'm sorry. It's because you're right. I keep derailing you.
We're almost done. Stay frosty. We're almost done.
And I have some Brutus sound effects.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right. Where were we? Oh, yeah. We're going to Egypt to kill Mark Antony. In real life, Mark Antony wasn't...
Like my grandmother says it.
Mark Antony was not only not behind the crime, but he publicly denounced the killers and was instrumental in getting them run out of Rome. And the problem was he was Caesar's right-hand man. So afterward, a power struggle erupted between him and Octavian, Caesar's other nephew.
Another dude?
And Octavian's the one who's sneaking around in the game. And who's portrayed as like, oh, I'm such a good-hearted little teenager. I'm blonde. That's how you can tell. And so... Yeah, they shared power for a couple years, and that didn't work out so well. And it ended with Antony fleeing to Egypt, where he was going to raise an army. But then Octavian came with his own armies, and Antony and Cleopatra famously committed suicide rather than be captured. And in which case, they would probably have been taken to Rome alive and publicly humiliated in brutal ways.
Yeah,
because that's what Roman triumphs are.
Yes. That's what. So, meanwhile, look for us. I just wanted to make a joke about the Pax Romana.
Pax Romana?
That's yes. The Penny Arcade right. Boys are doing that over in Italy. Almost. If I just had a little more time to structure it, I think it could.
Maybe
have been a
if you added a sound effect.
Ooh,
yeah, what do you that think? Usually makes things fun.
There you go.
See, now it's brilliant.
Oh, what's the podcast equivalent of an Emmy? And give it to me.
Potty.
Potty. Let me give me a potty.
Yeah, I'll give you a potty.
Your potty. I have these from your last top seven where this was an entry.
All right.
McCanus, you rat. How could you abandon Caesar? Because he abandoned me!
I just got teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Such pathos.
I am a genius. The general that ever lived.
Brutus, ladies and gentlemen. Brutus.
That was the sound of him shitting, by the way.
I thought it was the sound of him dropping olive oil.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to Popeye as many times as I can.
I don't think that really connects with the kids.
No?
I don't think they're into that. I don't think they know what a Popeye is.
Google it, everyone. No. Google Popeye. I think he's on a shirt at fucking Hot Topic right now.
Yeah, he makes really good chicken.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does. Hi. We're through with the top seven.
Thank God.
No news, boys.
I don't know if I can go back to any... historical game now that I know how historically inaccurate they may be.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, that's the thing. I was like, when you brought up the Genji thing, like, I didn't want to... Number one, that would be too easy. Number two, that widens the playing field so much. Like, something like Sunset Riders, is that to be included? Or
I just want it to be known that I did read your article.
Okay.
I brought that up for the sake of conversation.
I know.
So you lied to the listeners.
I figured. You wanted that brought up. That's good.
I thought it'd make for some fun jib-jab.
But no, I wanted just to elaborate on that point.
Yeah.
I want to elaborate on TGS. More importantly, I want to lead with my favorite news that I haven't even really just got back, been working really hard on other stuff. First news I get told, what do you think my favorite news is? You told me it casually while we were smoking today. The Square announced that they're going to release Final Fantasy X in HD.
Oh, that's right.
Funny thing is that
that was a great scoop by Coop.
Scoop, Coop.
Yes, I scooped it by not speaking Japanese.
That's a horrible nickname, the Coop Scoop.
The Coop Scoop.
Yeah,
you should do that.
I'm back in kindergarten.
Let's
now.
Not use that. Let's.
How about the Cooper Scooper?
Again, that's first grade now.
I knew it was. I knew it was pretty clever.
Yes.
What are some other TGS stories that came out? Does anybody know how Hank and Carolyn are holding up? They're out there right now.
I think they got kidnapped by the Yakuza.
No!
Yeah.
Don't tell the Yakuza.
Yeah.
Don't come!
That's House of the Dead. That doesn't have anything to do with the Yakuza. I just don't have a lot to work with right now, other than Oriental Gong, which I'm saving.
Okay.
I am saving that one.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess in terms of TGS, we can start with the Nintendo 3DS press conference.
Yes, where there was rumored to be a complete overhaul of the system, and that didn't happen.
Mm. Oh, okay, good. I wasn't looking. I foresee that as well, and I'm not looking forward to it as a early adopter.
Right.
Who was compensated for his early adoption with a bunch of games he already owns. That aren't altogether that playable anymore.
No, but as an early adopter, you can look forward to them finally having confirmed the... Is there a name for the second circle pad? It's like the...
I think we're calling it the thingamajiggy.
Yeah, that officially exists? Yeah.
And not only does it exist, but it takes a AAA battery.
Fuck! Why does this exist? Yeah. Like, I don't...
Wait, I can make it worse. Split the user base,
because
that
it worse.
Always goes well.
I can make it worse for you. You know how you can figure that any game that uses this, that's probably going to be the best way to play it, because they're going to have a second analog stick? Oh, they've already started confirming, like, Metal Gear Solid's going to use it, and they delayed Kid Icarus, so there's rumors that they're delaying it so that can use it.
Mm-hmm. Like, that was the fucking problem with the 3DS.
Yep.
The lack of an analog stick. A second analog stick. God damn it.
So that happened.
You know what?
And they really kind of swept that under the rug.
They actually didn't announce that at the press conference. They did it like 20 minutes later. They like waved people over. It's like, yo, you should probably take a look at this. We didn't feel like putting a spotlight on it.
They emailed assets out afterwards.
Yeah.
After everyone went home.
Did they stream the conference?
They did stream
but
the
they
conference.
Didn't stream with an English translation.
No, they did not. No. But it really wasn't that hard to understand.
I mean, I'm sure when you see a Mario Party 9 logo come
right.
up,
yeah. and you see a bunch of characters with a
the
year.
biggest announcements they made, I'd say, was they confirmed a new Fire Emblem for the 3DS and a new Mario Tennis for the 3DS.
Jesus Christ!
That's what they brought. That's what they brought. That was their A game.
I know Henry's out there ejaculating right now.
Really?
And there's some discussion over whether it was exactly following the conference or before the conference, mm-hmm. but Nintendo stock prices have fallen.
I did see that. Did we do an article on that?
Yeah, it dropped by a few percent. It wasn't a huge drop, but mm-hmm. usually after a press conference, especially one that you promote, people kind of, like, I saw some headlines saying, like, this is how Nintendo's going to save the 3DS. Wow, you'd have expected it to go up. Or right. at least not go down at all. But it stayed down for a little while. I think it evened out eventually, but it was... the future... They didn't really give you a good forecast of the future of the 3DS.
This is very disappointing.
I have a file of Mario themes. Anybody?
Running out of time?
Yeah, that'd be Mario Tennis, and nobody here fucking... It's like the one Mario theme nobody fucking recognizes.
No, but I will go up to... Not bat, but I'll go up to tennis.
If I want to ignore sports games, I'll ignore real sports games.
Mario Golf?
Mario Tennis is good. You get to play as Waluigi as his completely broken... He's taller than everyone, so he has the best tennis abilities. And his special power involves making waves
for
no reason.
Look how long my arms are!
I didn't think they could make the existence of Waluigi more infuriating.
I love Waluigi. That's another podcast.
Fuck, that's irritating.
That's all Nintendo really brought. It was a lot of just talking about, like, listen, guys, just stay. It reminded me a lot of, like, Sony's early PS3 press conferences, where half of it was spent like, listen, we know. We're sorry, and it'll get better. And it did.
When?
When Uncharted 2 came out.
The vibe I got from most of Sony's early PS3 press conferences was like, look how great we are. Look at these charts and graphs. We're going to talk about them for a half an hour before we start talking about games.
Oh, there was still a bunch of that.
Yeah, Sony still did that at their Vita press conference, okay. which was awesome.
Just last night.
You know? I heard about that. I heard you complaining about the charts.
They streamed it in English. But that stream crashed about 30 seconds before the press conference started, and I think that someone at Sony literally said, "Yeah, fuck that. We're not gonna turn it back on." So we had to watch the Japanese live stream, even though they were supposed to have an English one, which was slightly harder to understand because there was a lot of charts and graphs going on.
Tell me how many of these are happening. We're getting a new Jumping Flash, a new Loaded, and I can't think of another decent PlayStation franchise.
No.
I
don't know. They could have said it. I didn't understand Japanese.
That was supposed to be the wrong answer, buddy.
are you getting a new Twisted Metal?
But I already knew that.
But yeah, the stuff they announced, Kojima went on stage and announced everything you already expected him to announce. So he's making
it.
That is Kojima.
Yes. He's making a new game for the Vita and the PS3 using the Fox engine. Which is
it the same game?
Yeah.
No.
but he announced it again.
That's good. Announcements for games have already been announced.
Yes, is it Transfaring? Is that the name of his thing?
Oh, yes.
Transfaring!
Transfaring is going to work with Zone of the Enders and Metal Gear Solid HD on the Vita.
What is that again? That's you're just able to use your old PS2 saves?
No. You're going to be able to
play it on PS3 and
your Vita. So let's say you go buy a PlayStation 3 game, and then you say, you know what I want? I want to play this on a smaller screen on the subway, but I don't feel like replaying the same levels.
I do like it. I do like the idea.
I like it. I just get angry every time Kojima goes up on stage and I see the Transfaring logo, and it's like, I know he's just going to sit there talking about it like it's a brilliant idea when it should just be how things are.
Didn't Madden do that years ago? Play it on PS3 or PS2 and transfer it to PSP.
There was a Wii game that did it.
Never had a Final Fantasy PS3 for the Wii. In the beginning, but I thought that was part of it. Like, what was the deal with being able to play Lair on your PSP?
That was you were able to stream it.
Yeah,
to stream it like via the internet, so play it super slowly.
But this is not streaming. No,
it worked pretty well.
Worked better because you didn't have to use the motion controls exclusively.
Yeah, exactly. That was, I think, what clued them in. It's like, oh yeah, maybe we should do that patch that fixes the controls. And by then, nobody cared.
Yeah,
except the diehards.
It has to be easy and fast. If it's not, then forget about it.
And when I think Transfaring, I think easy and fast.
Yeah.
But what else? Oh, Capcom announced that Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is going to be a Vita launch title.
I think that's a decent move, but I thought, like, when we're...
That game's already done, so it's not like they're making a new game.
But when we discussed the 3DS before a certain person went over to Cap. And I don't have any new information. But
why are you winking at me?
I'm not wink. That is not a wink. That is not a wink at all. But seriously, I did not know my wink would be that audible. We looked at Street Fighter sales, which is before Ocarina of Time, is the highest rated 3DS game. And its sales are pathetic.
Yeah.
And it's Street Fighter emulated to handhelds. Like, I'm not as big in the Street Fighter scene to say you, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Is that a platform where fighting fans go?
Not for me, not personally. For,
yeah.
But you know what? Like, I think...
But you
I
go,
think,
there, you well, go, you go I, there for the personas.
Well, look, there's like a joy to buying like a new piece of hardware, right?
Yeah,
when it comes out. And, you know, just as long as there's decent stuff, it doesn't have to be the best.
Well,
but come on. Ultimate people, Marvel versus Capcom versus Tom Clancy's whatever that launched with the 3DS.
I couldn't give a fuck about anything with Tom Clancy.
You know,
by the way, that Ghost Recon game that came out in the 3DS, awesome.
Yeah, so Michael said something to that effect, but I didn't believe him.
It's fantastic.
Because it really is.
Because I couldn't even see his beard through the launch goggles. I guess it's okay.
But the other thing they announced is, I think it was already announced, but they announced a new character for Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Is that the official name?
Ooh, is he from Tekken or Street Fighter?
It's a cat.
What?
And it's the, like, that PSP or the Vita logo,
Toroko or
yeah, it's a
been
cat.
like a semi unofficial PlayStation mascot for years and years.
You were not here though.
You've never heard less audible. Like there was no response from the audience.
Right there.
Nice. That like little super simplistic white cat.
Yes,
thing?
Yeah, which by the way took over like half of the press conference. Because every time that Sony also tried. I think Sony knows that one of the reasons the 3DS is failing or not doing as well as Nintendo had hoped. Is because people like tablets. So about half the press conference was spent building up, like, look at all the apps. Look, you can use the internet.
You're still going to charge three times as much as every other platform?
Yes.
Actually, for Japan, they announced all the online stuff was going to be like hour cards, which is actually kind of interesting.
Hour cards?
Like, buy 10 hours of online for, like, a few bucks.
That's how it's always been.
I love buying online by the hour because I live in 1992.
I'd still rather do that for, like, the Vita, because I know that there's going to be a month where I don't play anything, but if I want
to
play
I don't think
something...
that'll be the case, but I wouldn't subscribe to a game that I needed to play online on a portable system.
No, it's... No, I like, if you had to buy, like, with a... if you had to buy, like, a monthly charge
for
3G.
Oh, with AT&T.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, pay-as-you-go for a console makes sense.
Yeah.
It does, actually. That.
I mean, as long as it still has Wi-Fi.
It's just been, but it doesn't matter because there's no way that's making it over to America.
America does not like pay-as-you-go plans, and it's usually cripplingly unfair as far as our pay-as-you-go plans go.
Right.
You'll end up getting fucked in your stupid face. I couldn't cue it up correctly. Someone else go. I haven't eaten much and I'm drunk.
More TGS. Monster Hunter 4 for the 3DS. That's the kind of thing that... And Monster Hunter...
3G.
3G. There's another word. There's another letter there.
3G.
Some 4S.
Hunter?
No, it's some 3...
3GD? 3G.
I wish. It's 3G 3GS? Something. It's a remake of Monster Hunter 3G.
Yay.
Yeah, man. And Monster Hunter 4, which they...
There was much rejoicing over.
Is it really that sad a time for Japanese developers? Dead or Alive 5?
Yes, absolutely.
And specifically Capcom. I mean...
Oh,
well, I hear that Monster Hunter, or as they call it there, Mohan, is the hotness.
Well, the thing is, like, I got a little bit of schadenfreude reading the bits about... The casual consumers are finally abandoning Nintendo because they've got iPhones now. and so now Nintendo, I think, is going to have to realize it's like, oh, yeah, what happened to those gamers? We should start paying attention to them again. like really hard and fast now.
I don't know.
Stop trying to charge me like $8 for a Zelda game. Or,
I don't know who.
Well, I guess it's free now.
Yeah, I don't know who at Nintendo was like, you know who bought the Wii? Soccer Moms. You know who will buy the 3DS? Also Soccer Moms. Mm. And that, it's taking them till now to be like, hey, I guess they're not buying a 3D.
Well, because who bought the DS? Handout. Everyone.
Yeah. I want to. I've always wanted to write an article comparing them to Disney, but mark my words, Nintendo will be a company that cranks out almost no new product and salvages itself on the nostalgia of its old shit.
Yeah, I think
which I'm actually fine with.
I'm totally fine with it.
I think we're in sort of like that 80s slump before Eisner took over phase at Nintendo right now.
So
they need
hold on until Nintendo's Jim Henson's Dinosaurs.
Wait, they're going to crank out a few more shitty live action movies. And, yeah. And they'll rediscover animation.
They'll have a respectable failure like Rocketeer. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll probably be Fire Emblem game.
Nah, because it'll be something somebody in this room cares about.
It's not that I don't. Well, Henry's not here, so I guess you're right.
I've always wanted to like Fire Emblem. It's just so much effort.
Yeah, they don't really make it that easy.
No, it's hard to love.
Did they say it would be coming to America?
No.
It's usually a translation issue, and it's always up in the air for Fire Emblem.
No, and actually,
they won't even say if the Pink Mist 3DS is going to be coming out.
I asked Nintendo about that yesterday, and the official response was, we don't know for both
they
of those. It wasn't
know.
Even like a we don't comment or no. we haven't decided. It's just like,
I imagine if you ask Nintendo of America just about anything, like, well, no, when we're told to.
Well, there's this guy in Japan that sends us an email.
Yeah, like, why give someone more than two colors? You know how much money pink plastic costs to produce? Millions. Millions of dollars.
Apparently.
Well, but unless you're
going on the manufacturer who makes Lizzie's iPhone casing. Because then it looks like $1-$2.
What are they calling it? Pink Mist?
M-Y-S-T, I believe.
So it's like that game by Cyan?
I'm trying.
Nobody got that?
I'm trying.
Really? I fucking Mist? Come on.
Oh, I thought you were making a Cyan being another color joke.
No.
I understand the Mist reference.
I probably could have figured out a clever way to do that.
I understand.
I was riveted by your joke.
Anyway, somebody in the office who shall remain nameless was like, why are they calling it Pink Mist? Why don't they call it vaginal wall pink?
I was like, ew.
And he was like, did you just say ew to that?
Yeah, that's pretty ew. Yeah, I'm going to try and top it, though.
That's pretty inappropriate.
Yeah.
It's like farting out a mist of cum when your asshole is bleeding.
So it's like auto-felching, but with blood.
We need to Google this.
But anyhow, the Pink Mist announcement was preceded by a very interesting graph which showed the difference between male versus female ratios for the Wii and the Nintendo DS.
And they did something so adult and like put a stop to my behavior.
They also
we're so used to it
game.
By this point, it's no longer shocking.
Nintendo also announced a game that I think was called Girls Game or Girl RPG.
Game for girl.
And they also showed like a 3-minute long video of like Mii's getting married and hanging out with no English context.
Unga Bunga caveman game developer.
There's no way millions of female gamers will be offended.
Stick figure get married.
Well, it's like that yearly thing at the
Ambition
Nintendo Roundtable.
Ambition realized.
How give handjob without arm. Tyler fucking hates me right now. He's all right.
Because you didn't finish that statement.
And he's not even like disagreeing with me.
He didn't make it clear
much.
That the Mii's can't give hand jobs because they only have hands.
That's right.
They don't even have hands. They just have those balls that just float in the air.
They do. Yeah. Countdown
to balls joke. I guess
I'm not gonna do it because Tyler Nagata looks like he wants to fucking murder me in my sleep, and he lives below me, and I can't. All right, serious news. I'm putting on my journalist face.
Have you found anything else you can think of for TGS?
It's TGS related.
Starting.
I mean, it's just about the new assets and trailers and stuff. Like, there was that interesting ridiculous Love Plus stuff that they...
Love Plus? Do tell.
It's like a dating sim, but it's... like, it's gonna be extreme, the new Love Plus for the 3DS. Which
I'm in.
All sorts of that AR reality stuff with the camera where you can put like girls on your couch and fucking.
I see.
In 3D though. Oh, yeah. Nintendo announced that they're going to be able to, you're going to be able, there's going to be a firmware update, I think in October, that lets you record in 3D on the 3DS.
I did read that today. I'm like, you should have just not done it at all. If you didn't do it at launch, allow people to do that at launch.
And
who the fuck cares? Now everybody knows it's a gimmick now and doesn't give a shit.
All they need to do with that is make it like okay, now you can also upload it to YouTube, and now you can watch 3D YouTube videos. And then it's like, okay, cool. That's something I'd do.
It could have been the first piece of technology to allow you to record video in 3D, like on a consumer level.
And then upload it to YouTube and watch 3D. That's the thing. It's like YouTube has 3D support.
God damn it. I'm not trying to root against Nintendo.
I want somebody else to run Nintendo.
I know. Other than Nintendo.
Nintendo needs to listen to one person who has ever lived in America.
Is everybody on your board 700 years old?
Yes.
Jesus.
Also, I want to correct myself. Yasmees do have arms.
They have arms and then ball hands.
Yes, they do. I was thinking of Rayman.
You were still right with balls. Their hands are just balls.
That's true. No, I know that.
Well, Tyler, is there anything that you want to talk about that's not TGS related?
The Max Payne 3 trailer just launched.
Oh, yeah, that was very first awesome.
Was it? I haven't watched it yet.
It was kind of awesome.
Yeah?
It's, typical Rockstar awesome trailer.
What was up? I only saw the email they sent me, and we got so used to those bald Max Payne pics, but he's got hair now.
He shaves it in the middle of the trailer.
Yeah, he does.
Okay,
which he looked cool with hair.
Yeah,
now he looks like
he's definitely older and paunchier. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got kind of. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a gut. I think they got a bad reaction to that.
I think he's got
mind
shape.
He does have a very soft looking
punch.
Middle.
Punch is a good way to say that. He's got what do you call that 4-year-old build?
Yeah,
yeah,
he looks haggard. He looks like the kind of person who just stays alive on painkillers and caffeine and no sleep.
Not to be confused with painkiller. They're too similar again. Tyler, I got more news. Otherwise, I'm going to have to bring Charlie Barrett in here.
Nah, that's pretty much...
nothing?
That's pretty much...
What about both your... What about some PC bullshit? You two were gallivanting around talking about League of Legends a second ago.
Like, yeah, there's the new
Hero. Oh, well, we love League of Legends.
New Hero launched for League of Legends.
Yeah? Riven?
Is it Riven?
Riven.
Riven, and I am going to immediately leave this podcast and play as Riven.
Insert other missed joke.
I'm going to
join
you.
Keeping the PC going.
As Dale.
Dale?
I wanted to make a Rivendell joke and a Chippendale joke, but I think I was asking too much of my own brain.
You just ended with Dale?
I got the Rivendell part out, but not the Chippendale part, so I'm disappointed in myself. But what
I'm imagining Chippendales dancing at Rivendell. Like in front of Elrond, and he's like,
But I am waiting every day to see if Riot Games will launch Dominion, the new mode.
Yeah, they've been promising this new game mode for a while. Dominion. It's not out yet. That's what's up with it. We've been hearing like, hey, it's probably coming out soon, and they've been saying soon for a while, and soon, I think soon has passed. So we're now getting to kinda soon, and we're hoping that it's coming out kinda soon. It essentially takes I heard somebody call League of Legends almost like a sports game, where like the one game mode is like, let's just say football. Like that game mode you play as in League of Legends is football, and them releasing a new map with a new game mode is being like, okay, now it's baseball. Like it's not like there's a new level in Call of Duty. It changes everything about the game, and you're still using people, and they're still using like the same kind of abilities, but it's a different game.
If I may try and pander to the PC audience, it's like Left 4 Dead. Co-op campaign versus Left 4 Dead versus.
Even further.
Even more.
Even more?
I love it. It's like Left 4 Dead's co-op campaign and then the campaign of like Dead Island. Like it's that, like, yeah, you're still fighting zombies, you're still using weapons in an open kind of area, but it's a completely different mechanic.
Oh my God, Dead Island. I never wanted to weigh in. I'm not even going to break it up. I never wanted to weigh in on that in any way. Never wanted to play it, but I was on vacation. It was the only game I stole from work. I cannot think of a better terrible game that I've ever played. Like, so much fun, so fucking stupid.
Yep. Paid you so much money to say that. No.
I really like your Dead Island money hat, by the way.
My Dead Island? This is the
character. It looks really expensive.
It's the character Sam B. He's the guy with the bandana. Who answers everybody like, yep, what up? We gotta get, can you find the receiver? Show enough.
Oh, God. I do like Dead Island. I've been playing a little bit. It's like Borderlands meets Far Cry 2.
And then a cutscene kicks in, or a bug, or a terrible menu, or an item system, and I'm like, man.
Well, a new patch came out today that supposedly fixed a lot of errors.
I finished it already.
Well, now you can go back
and replay
it.
Are they going to fix the story? Because it's really stupid. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just I'm living in a post-LA Noir world, but those fucking faces, man, are very... very second generation original Xbox. Very breathy, like NPC. Is this picking up well on mic? This is me doing breathing motions. And
it looks like an MMO NPC where it doesn't actually talk because they don't feel like animating the body, so they just kind of gyrate.
They have so many scenes where they try and emote and where they do something emotional and they turn to the characters as if their cheekbones moved an inch, and they don't. Their eyebrows don't move either, so it's just like they're like pointing a mannequin at something sad. Got it.
Well, it's funny. I feel like I might have mentioned this on last week's podcast, but it's by Techland.
Yeah.
They're the ones who did the Call of Juarez series, and they also put out a Call of Juarez game like a month or two ago that was completely fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm. Really, really, really horrible.
And then they put out Dead Island, and it's much better, but it still has a lot of problems. And so Coop and I, we were talking earlier today about, like, I wonder if this is like a thing like with Obsidian, and like Alpha Protocol came out and it was kind of iffy and had a lot of problems, and then like Fallout New Vegas came out like a couple months later and it was much better, but it was riddled with bugs and had all these other problems. And like if it's just a case of divided attentions.
Like a small studio that really should be making one game and maybe like helping to develop DLC for it, but instead they're like, hey, we're going to make Alpha Protocol awesome. And somebody's like, do you want to make a Fallout? And they're like, hell yeah, we want to make a Fallout, but we don't feel like stopping making our other game. So each team's getting five people.
I think
people.
That game got too big for its britches after a certain trailer.
Not to mention a popular web series of advertaining videos.
So advertaining.
Yeah, that thing Without was like announced. Hype, that thing was announced pre Left 4 Dead.
Yeah,
and
looked awful back then too. Go back and look at those screenshots.
The shit that happened in that game, I couldn't believe it. Like, oh, a weapon I've been building up for hours just disappearing. I die. For example, I'm trying not to spoil anything. I die and I'm looking for a key. Mm-hmm. I die before I find the key. I respawn in the area I needed the key to gain access to. But I don't have the key, so the door is not unlocked, and I am trapped further in the game than I needed to be, with nothing that I needed, being killed by advanced enemies.
That's very weird.
I had to turn off the power on my 360 to go back to the spot where I needed to continue the game, because I was just stuck. Couldn't get anywhere.
The weirdest bug that I've run into, and I think the only real huge bug, was those thug zombies that show up that are like really tough. Mm-hmm. I'm playing as Jean,
let him swing three times and then take your hits.
The sword expert.
Yes.
But like I decided to throw all of my bladed weapons into this zombie and then it killed me. And so I'm like, fuck, now I've lost all my weapons. So I ran back to where I had fought it and all of my knives are floating in midair. In the same place. They're basically, they're all just occupying the same space, and I just ran up and plucked them out of thin air. And it's like all but the most valuable one were there. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
It's all right.
That's actually kind of cool.
I mean, there are situations like that. I had the same thing Matt encountered where you throw a weapon and it would end up beneath the ground.
Nice.
And I didn't throw it that hard because this weapon is not. Anywho,
Dead Island,
we're going to come back.
We gave it a 7.
All right,
which is good.
It seems to be about right, yeah.
It's good.
It's one of those that it's like, it's got a lot of really good points, but then it's just
it made
really
me so excited
flaws.
To play an open world game again. I think I'm going to go start Borderlands or Deus Ex like immediately. I loved it. I had a fantastic time with it, but its flaws are hilarious.
You just want a better version of that.
A little bit. But the zombie angle is really great too, especially that the characters are people who cannot be... Who are immune to zombie bites.
Right.
So that explains how you play through the game. You can get bit and fucked up.
Well, most zombie games are like that. Like, otherwise, you're going to get bitten by the first zombie you run across, and you're going to be sick.
What zombie game am I... There's another zombie game where the characters are immune to...
Dead?
In Resident Evil, you do get bit by zombies.
But they're
a lot. According you get bit by zombies a lot, and you never turn.
I didn't even think about that. You're right. Well, they established that in the story. Like, so every time you go somewhere and like he's immune to the virus, he can do this for you. So it makes sense why you're going on these missions because you're the only person who can. But I didn't think about that. They never established that. I'm done.
It also helps that the four people with the most combat training on the island are the ones who are immune to
You
the
don't
virus.
Know that. All that chick in the bikini could be like a ninja secretly.
Yes.
She's not going to tell you because she's too busy moaning and biting you.
The rapper character I played as with the dead eyeballs, that's what should be called, dead eyeballs. Lol. I'm getting myself one of
dead-eyed
these.
Dead-eyed protagonists.
Does anybody have anything to plug? Are we reviewing anything? Do we have any features going up? That doesn't happen here anymore, right?
I'm working on next week's top seven.
Yeah?
I'm cranking out the top fucking sevens.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm working on a new venture. Follow my Twitter, please. anybody else? Newsishness?
We post it.
Fuck yeah.
Come to us.
Fuck yeah.
Read our site.
And find out why MapleStory divorces are so are running rampant.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I need to see it next to a chart with RuneScape separation.
So are these, right. these divorces within the game?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like wives finding out their husbands actually
it
play MapleStory.
It costs money to get married in the game.
Hmm.
And
awesome.
But 75% of the people who get married in
just
the game
like in real
break
life.
Up.
Just like, that's depressing.
Yeah.
Probably because 75% of the people who get married in the game are 14.
Did I mention I'm still alone? Anywho, I'm going to try and
14-year-olds are marrying each other, Chris. They're marrying each other online.
I'm going to go back.
Avatars are getting married.
I'm going on vacation again so I can wallow in my own sweat and sadness.
And play enough MapleStory to get married.
Play enough MapleStory. I'm going to have my own little MapleStory.
It only costs $25.
To get married?
No.
Wait, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. Back in my day, we had a MapleStory and it was called Aunt Jemima. Look, can I just leave? Can I leave?
Please.
Bye.
I think you'd better at this point.
Alright, this is the final round of the Games Radar Spelling Bee. Darth Vader, your word is Talk Radar.
As you wish.
Brett Elston, use it in a sentence.
I swear to God, I've never laughed so hard as I did when listening to Talk Radar 15.
T A L C.
Sorry.
Go to GamesRadar.com.
Talk Radar, available in the iPhone App Store. Never.
Don't cry, my love, don't cry no more. A crashing sky, a roaring scream. A city drowning in God's black tears.
Ah, belated weird second segment for Talk Radar 178. I have sobered up during the break.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that can happen.
I really hope I didn't end the show last night like it was an act. Doesn't matter because we have a very special guest to talk about a certain game called Gears of War 3.
Ah, shit.
don't need you to talk it. I built you another intro. It's another long one, but I think you were tired of the old Pope of Greenwich Village reference. But Charlie, this is your new intro.
My eyes are getting weary. My back is getting tight. I'm sitting here in traffic on the Queensboro Bridge tonight. But I don't care, cause all I wanna do,
respect the theme,
is cash my check and drive right home to you. Cause baby, all my life I will be driving home to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Barrett.
What was the point of that?
I'm a little confused myself.
I thought you were going to change something.
Yeah, you were just a little tired. I don't know. I figured you deserve the King of Queens theme song. Like that would be the most appropriate way to bring it in.
I see. I do love King of Queens.
I know you do. I know you're a big Kevin James fan. That Zookeeper shirt is looking stellar.
Leah Remini used to be pretty hot.
Yeah, she was.
And Charlie's wearing a homemade shirt that says Paul Blart Zookeeper.
I thought you were going to have it where it was like, all I want to do, and it was going to cut to me saying, Battle Jellyfish?
No, why would I alter anything like that?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It's classic.
Maybe we will try. Of course, I have Marcus Fenus sound effect. How's Gears of War 3?
Marcus Fenus?
I gave up on the word.
Okay.
Gears of War 3 is quotation mark awesome, end quotation mark, 9/10.
Okay, we're done.
Yay! What kept it from a 10, Charlie Bear?
What kept it from a 10 is not the multiplayer, mm-hmm. which is really cool, and the co-op, which is super fun and beefed up in many different ways, but the campaign, I was going to say single player, but obviously if you don't have to play it single player, the campaign...
Four-player co-op, right?
Yeah, if you play the campaign in four-player co-op, it's actually definitely better.
Oh, let's make sure to do that.
Because one of the campaign left me a little disappointed. It fell a little flat for me in a lot of parts. One of the reasons is... would be solved by playing four-player co-op. And we already have a video. I mentioned the review, and we have a video from the UK about this, which is... I started playing on normal, thinking, like, I'm doing it for this review. I need to get through it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll play it on hardcore for myself, but I need to play it on normal now just to make sure I finish it in time for the review. It was so easy. I mean, they're right when that headline in the UK, like, it almost plays itself.
Really?
Because he does that like 10 minutes of video where he doesn't pull the trigger except for when they make him in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And his squad, your squad mates, because they have to have three...
You did show me that. Like, they did all the work for me in one of those scenes.
Yeah, like you were
trying... It wasn't a scripted event. Like,
yeah, you were trying to catch footage.
Stuff.
You were looking around, like, trying to figure out where you're supposed to go. And then while you're doing that, like, they'd already finished off the enemies for you.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot, at least in the beginning of the game, because I eventually switched over to hardcore because it was just not fun that way. But it's because they have to add three co-op partners in case there's human people that come into there, but if they're not, then those are three AI people that are just too good at their jobs. They're always running in front of your bullets because they're like trying to be helpful.
Mm.
You know, in Call of Duty, Call of Duty makes you charge forward, like they'll keep replenishing enemies, and unless you charge forward, they'll keep coming, and you're the one that has to make that move and lead the charge further down the hall or further across the battlefield. In Gears of War, it seems like there's still finite number of enemies, and you're
all clear.
I could stop this anytime.
And your squad mates will take care of as many as you let them take care of. If you are at the beginning of a certain area and you're like, oh, I actually want to look around for collectibles and make sure I get some ammunition, so I'm ready for this fight. Oh, wait, I just got to the fight and they've already killed off half the enemies for me. Or like, oh, there's a guy crawling. I want to go do one of the new executions.
They kept taking it from me.
There's tons of new executions to do. Like, there's one for every weapon, and I want to get
those.
Happen. That's an achievement.
And I really played for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's always stupid Drake from Degrassi Next Generation stealing them. It's always him. Like, I'm like, oh, finally there's one, because the locusts this time are lambent and they blow up and are glowy and gooey rather than bloody. So they blow up instead of crawling. So when you're fighting one of the regular locusts and you see him crawling, it's a rare opportunity in the main campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, finally, there it is. And I just happen to have this weapon I haven't done an execution on before. I want to execute that guy with the torque bow or with the one shot. And then I run over there, and just as I get there, Jace/Drake just walks in. It's like, yeah, take that, motherfucker. And then he just kicks in and he just curb stomps him. Does the most basic.
Not Drake.
Does the most basic execution. I'm like, I was going to do something so much cooler, Drake. Why'd you have to do that?
You know, Michael, when you're that far away from the microphone, it makes me feel like you don't care about Gears of War 3.
He cares about Resistance 3.
I care, but I haven't actually started playing it yet, so I have nothing to contribute.
Not true. You haven't played... Did you play the beta with us?
No.
No?
Nope. I was completely out of that loop.
Why are you here, Michael?
I don't know.
Because
Chris just dragged me in here and was like,
I don't know how to do this without you. Don't make me do this alone. We're going to interview Charlie Barrett.
You're his lucky charm.
Yeah.
So that was one aspect. Oh, but just, you know, the other reason the campaign falls a little flat for me is story-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was predictable. Spoiler alert, some characters die, and...
Thanks for that, buddy.
It's, you really didn't expect
completely
that.
Ruined the game.
Charlie jumped me further in the game, and like, somebody just yelled at somebody being dead.
That's right, I actually spoiled it for you, like, 100% spoiled it for you.
Well, what was awesome is that you were genuinely apologetic about it.
I did feel bad.
You felt bad.
But let me, I don't want to spoil anything. This is not something I mentioned in the review because I didn't want to get into it and get too spoilery. And I still won't hear, but there is a character death that should be a big deal. And the way it happened in the game, I thought fell really super flat. I can't wait for you guys to get to that point so you can tell me if you feel the same way.
Okay.
Like, the music kicks in, the slow motion kicks in, you're supposed to really, really care. And I'm like, wait, really now? Like, That was totally that sacrifice was totally unnecessary. Like, we weren't in that dire straits. Why did you do that?
Maybe he or she isn't really dead. Did you see the body?
Well, Do you ever see a body except for Carmine's? They probably won't.
I don't know. Did you just ruin Carmine's death?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Oh, the other
or did
one.
I?
The other. I get it. No, you're right.
Yeah, I'm very curious to know how that Save Carmine, Kill Carmine campaign went, but that's a spoiler.
Especially that Cliffy B was promoting Kill Him.
And, yeah, he wanted him to die.
Yeah. No, I think I sort of do as
they
well.
They definitely play with you in the campaign. Like, there's a few moments where he gets close, like something a piece of playground equipment almost crushes him, or like a sniper bullet goes right by his head, and they want you to think, oh, that's the time he's going to get killed. Nope. And they'll comment. He's like, oh, man, that's a good thing I was wearing a helmet. You almost shot me. Or,
didn't that happen with the other Carmine?
First Carmine was shot.
He almost died a couple times, though.
Oh, no,
in
maybe.
The second game.
The second Carmine.
First Carmine was shot in the head. The second Carmine was, I think, dissolved and eaten by a bunch of little guys.
He was digested.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think they made a big deal. Like, Marcus was like, no, Carmine.
And I think I included Carmine, just a collective Carmine, in the list of unluckiest bastards, and just predicted the deaths of all the various, like, C to Z Carmines.
Yeah, I do wonder if they...
Carmine is the red-shirted black guy.
It was just the first name, A... All their first initials are like A, B, now C.
Yeah, because there's Anthony. I don't know what the second one's name is.
I think it was Ben.
Okay, and this one is Clayton Carmine.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they use the same voice. It's the same voice actor, but he's like, now he's a badass. He's got Grub Killer written across his chest plate.
Wow.
Of course.
Because that'll always be relevant.
He's getting... He gets angry at people.
Shouldn't question the choices of the COG soldiers.
It does help, though, because he has that written across his chest. You can be sure when he either lives or dies, because there's other people that have that same helmet. So there was a moment in the game where I was like, wait, was that it? Did I just find out whether he lived or died? And then I found out later on that was not the case. And
God forbid a medium as transitory in video games should ever date itself.
Yeah. I meant in terms of reality.
Oh,
I don't want him to wake up 40 years from now and have Grub Killer. What if, like, they're in the Senate with them? Right?
Yeah. What if they're like Klingons?
What if they find that offensive?
Yeah.
That could be weird.
I will spoil that somewhere in the game, Carmine takes off his helmet, and underneath he's Tali. And then underneath he is John, one of those people from Michael's feature, Bozo the Clown.
Bozo the Clown.
Or was it? No, it was the It Clown.
The It Clown?
It Clown.
When you show those people under Tali's mask?
Yeah.
What's his fucking name?
It's Stephen King's
It Clown.
It's
a cool name.
Oh, Pennywise.
Pennywise. Yeah. I see.
I can also, I'll tell you another exclusive to this podcast reason why the campaign fell a little flat for me.
What's that?
I didn't have room for it in the review, which is that we always make fun of Gears of War for being next-gen brown. And, you know, it's like, oh, wait, this one's got, like, tropical environments and, like, big, bright, sunny oceans.
I'm scrolling through the chapters with you, like, there's a sun.
In
many of these places. That's very weird.
So when I played Act 1, I was like, ooh, this is actually bright and expansive. Look at that beautiful ocean. And, you know, second act, you're in a big sandy desert. But then somewhere in Acts 3 and 4, it just started feeling really samey again, where it was like, okay, next-gen brown has been replaced by next-gen yellow. And, like, I'm in a cemetery, which has the exact same yellowy desaturated lighting as the sewer. Like, I'm in a sewer. I know a sewer is a boring place, but it could at least be dark and bluish or brownish. Nope, it's yellowish too. Oh, it's the same yellowish that is on the beach. And then even like in a point where it's like, finally there was some rain and thunder, and that was cool. And even that, it wasn't yellowy, but it was super desaturated. I'm like, and you guys put some colors in there, but it doesn't help if you still keep it super desaturated and make it like, oh, we can never have anything be too bright or too bold of a color.
I have no
game have I more often gone to the pause menu and kept playing with the gamma little cog things, because I was like, wait, is this the real color? Okay, it is. This is still good.
I mean, it's almost unfair. It'll never be like playing the first Gears for the first time, which was sort of mind-blowing visually. Like, we didn't know the 360 was capable of that. It's so many years later. Poor Gears of War 3. But I do want to give it credit, all the credit in the world, because I thought L.A. Noire had done this to me when I was playing Dead Island. Like, these are the worst-looking faces I have seen. Has L.A. Noire tainted me to facial recognition? But
Faces look good, I think.
They do. And that, like, I did. Well, I didn't. I don't know. I haven't played, like, many games like that. I've been mostly Xbox Live arcade shit.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I don't think they do any. I don't think they do any motion capping. I think it's just maybe this well animated.
What did I play since? Yeah, but, you know, like, Assassin's Creed is tight facial. I just couldn't remember because I had played L.A. Noire all the way through, and I think that was, I haven't played anything else all the way through since Dead Island. Fuck, just undead mannequin faces. But then I saw the Gears of War face, like, wow, they're more articulate than they were before.
And then they're like, they're not realistic looking. They're big and
But like every single piece of it moves independently.
Yeah, they look real in that universe anyway.
There's just a lot of in the cinematics. There's just a lot of great photography and a lot of great angles and close-ups on characters. And they don't have those kind of facial flaws. Like Dead Island does.
Yeah, there's some great. Not as many as I'd hoped for, but there were some great emotional like payoff moments.
Thank you for the money, Dead Island. I'm sorry.
How much did they give you again?
It's still coming.
You almost said $1 million, didn't you?
It's still coming.
It's still coming. But there are some really nice moments in Gears of War 3 campaign where you see like it's almost nonverbal. Like a point where Coltrane. This was actually in the
Coltrane
video that we already put up a few weeks ago, where Rod Ferguson narrates an entire chapter, but. He goes into a supermarket and sees a cardboard standee of himself, and he's just like,
"Woo!"
You know, he has a line where he's like, "Do you ever get the feeling that you're already dead?" And you just don't know it. But then there's just like another like 3 seconds of just focusing on his face, where he gives a super sad look, where he's just like he just stares wistfully, and like you can just tell he's this whole mix of emotions of like thinking about his past, knowing that he'll never get that back, no matter how hard he tries.
Then a locust pops in and chainsaws the standee and laughs at him.
That does happen, but...
The face thing, I think, jumped out at me because I think a large part of Gear's bro reputation comes from the character.
Bro-putation.
Like, dude, kill him! Wait, whatever. I don't know.
And how, yeah, they still do that, but...
A lot of that comes from that they always looked the same, squinty-eyed with Ninja Turtle mouths.
Are they squinty? I feel like you can see their eyes. Like, how do I know that Marcus's eyes are like blue?
They're all fucking grizzled and Chuck Norris-esque. And so when a couple of those cutscenes, I'm like, oh, there's genuine emotions being conveyed with their face now, which I think was new to me in terms of
how many times does Mad World play?
Well, that's a good...
I would be surprised that you would think it would play at all, Michael.
Yeah, why would you think that?
It hasn't played before.
Or are you just trying to get us to move on and you knew that we had a
clip? No, I'm just... I was genuinely curious.
Yeah. Well,
why would you think that it would play in the game?
Because it was in the first commercial, and I was just thinking, like, well, if they're actually genuinely including emotional moments now,
you are
Charlie,
a clever, clever man.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is on the gridlocked map. Charlie said it might have happened to you during the second round,
and this is the map that was in Gears 1, and I think Gears 2 as well. They just keep redoing it in different lighting.
You showed me a direct feed, and I'm like, well, here, map loading.
Here they come.
This is from, I didn't make this, it's from directly from the game.
This is a multiplayer match.
It's a multiplayer, in the middle of a multiplayer match. Yes, like.
Wow. That's weird.
I'm trying to wait until, it's a very long clip, but
there's the part where I die.
I try and run straight into the fire. Oh, this is me.
This is your clip, oh.
I just got this, because I. It's an instrumental version, no lyrics.
I thought I almost heard it, but I guess I was just imagining the words there.
But
I was just talking shit. I didn't think
that's why we were
Charlie
surprised.
Charlie said that, and I'm like, why did that happen? Did you hit a button in the environment somewhere? Was it playing from a loudspeaker within the game? It seems very weird to underscore a multiplayer map with
a highly
licensed track, an expensive track for the first time.
That also undercut my next shit-talking question, which was how many emotional moments are there in the multiplayer?
And there you go, one.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm curious, how long is it?
To me, it felt about as long as Gears of War 2, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've heard that they said it's bigger, but I don't know if it is. Maybe slightly longer. Like,
is it the kind of thing I can play overnight when it comes out and have finished in time for the podcast?
Could, but I wouldn't recommend playing it all in one night. Mm. I would recommend playing it across a weekend.
I see.
Yes.
I played it on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Like Friday night, and then some few hours Saturday, and a few hours Sunday. And it took me maybe, I don't know, probably 12 hours, but then I was doing it for review, so I was going slower than most people would, because I was wanting to check things. So it probably is like the usual 8 to 10 hours.
I meant to offer to come. I wanted to play through with you.
I definitely want to play four-player co-op, because that'll solve all those problems of those... Of Drake stealing kills, because at least I know you stole the kill, and
we can yell at one another.
We can work together to get executions, and we can... And there's lots of times where you're fighting a huge boss, because this game has... tons more of the boss creatures showing up all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you still fight tons. One of the comments on the review was like worried about that and saying, I like fighting the, the infantry and those kind of just filling them with bullets and watching them fall over. There's still plenty of that, but you know, Brumax show up all the time, Reaver show up all the time, Corpser show up all the time.
It happened in the first, the opening, which I may have posted as a video on GR by this point. You can see the 10 minutes, opening 10 minutes. I changed it to opening 10 minutes, not the first 10 minutes, because I don't want to spoil the first 4 minutes, which aren't even a spoiler. I just want to make sure.
Spoil them right now. And then
don't. I want to make sure people play that for themselves. It's a very nice.
I already spoiled it in the preview from like a month or so ago.
Right. So people know that?
If they read that preview, yeah.
Son of a bitch. All right. Maybe I'll go back and put that in.
It's really cool. I mean, so you don't want to talk about it now?
Well,
it's the beginning of the game. They want to know more stuff.
Why do the locusts are now...
Lambents. Lambents.
All of them are Lambent?
Lamberts. They're Adam Lamberts.
Man. They're Lamberts, the sheepish lion.
Oh,
yes,
man.
They're all sheepish lions.
I knew I was thinking it.
I did.
Lamb.
Not all of them.
We don't need to sing.
No, sing. They like when we sing.
Exploding locust lamb.
Yeah, well, they explode into, clouds of goo.
Urine. They explode into urine. Thick
yeah,
urine.
That's right. I farted in this enclosed room because of what you just did.
Oh,
and the
fantastic.
AC's off.
Oh, you're a bastard.
Yuck.
Warm farts.
I have to say I did like the way you sidestepped the resistance comparison, which is a nice way of covering up the fact that you haven't actually played Resistance.
Exactly. I sidestepped that at about 3 a.m. this morning.
Nicely done.
That's why we're doing
I want to make sure I feel like I complained too much about the campaign. I do want to that's the story fell a little flat for me, but there are a lot of good moments in the story. And it's not my favorite campaign of the three. At least, it's obviously got better graphics and some bigger stuff happens. But, first impressions of how the first one made you feel when you played the command, the second one made you feel, doesn't reach those heights.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has a lot of really cool moments, and it's going to be really, really fun on four-player co-op.
Does Marcus Phoenix do his Sam Kinison impression? I just had the file called.
I felt like I was going to say something. I was like, wait, let me just, you're clearly about to play something. I'll let you play.
Yeah. Because those are all existing Gears clips, but I did get stuff other than Mad World. it's very weird.
That plays in the campaign somewhere too.
Yeah. When you told me that, I thought like, are you sure they weren't just fucked, like you weren't being fucked with at the demo, but you got a retail copy and took it home.
Well, that happened to me here. That happened to me in the office.
I got one new clip of Marcus.
Stay sharp. These assholes can come out of anywhere.
That's true.
Yes, they can come out of anywhere.
They could even come out of other assholes.
I know. I was trying to mix up that sentence.
You should just
something.
Shorten it to assholes can come out of anywhere.
That's what I wanted. Something dirty.
But, are you going to play some iced tea?
I did. That was the highlight for me, is hearing motherfucking iced tea, man. iced tea don't fuck around.
Why didn't you do this whole interview as Ice-T?
Had a more pronounced lift than you.
I should have. Yeah, pimp, dude, pimp for life. And I'm on NCIS every Sunday. So. Pimp.
Is he?
I don't know. He's on one of those dumb.
He's on Law and Order SVU.
Michael, you should not know that.
He was.
I used to leave it on for my chinchilla all the time.
Oh, he liked Law and Order.
He loved watching Law and Order.
Really?
Yeah. He always came to the edge of his cage and faced the TV whenever it was on.
Are you sure it
say that pets, that you often project your own feelings onto your pets, so maybe you just love watching Law and Order.
No, I was indifferent to Law and Order, but I'd leave it on for him when I left the
house.
Maybe
he just found the transition sound comforting.
No, that's actually a thing, that chinchillas love television.
I thought you were going to say that chinchillas love Law and Order.
No, they love television, and they love shows that are just a lot of talking.
Oh, interesting.
That don't have loud noises.
And weird.
So that doesn't often have loud noises, and it has lots of talking.
Huh. You should just let them watch C-SPAN.
Yeah, did that sometimes.
I was going to say CNN, but they clearly have tons of loud noises and graphics these days.
Y'all want to hear the mic? Charlie?
Yes.
Tell me about Griffin.
Oh, he's the chief around here. Griffin Emulsion Corporation, remember?
Yeah, so you've got fuel.
Yeah, what?
That's not one of my favorite moments
that,
in the game.
What, not one of your favorite characters?
What happens before that moment is really cool. The setting is really neat and creepy. But
I'm trying not to ruin that.
I wasn't a fan of Ice-T's appearance in this game.
Oh, he's wonderful. Let's hear the mighty IT.
So welcome to Griffin Tower, Cog. It was here before you destroyed Char, and it's still standing now. And so am I. Got some nerve coming around here asking for favors, motherfuckers.
God, That's a fucking nerve. Fucking out the sun so I can't be sun tea. I gotta be iced. What?
And just in the game, like at least I was like, eh, it's sort of believable. But when you actually don't see the cuts anymore, just like I can see him in the studio just recording that right now. It's like that's just iced tea, just talking to the microphone. He probably did one take. Yep.
Here's an interaction between him and Phoenix to prove that it's genuine.
Oh, and who the fuck are you?
Marcus Phoenix.
It is a name I think I recall. You know the first rule of business, Mr. Phoenix?
Remind me.
It's what's in it for me.
Yeah.
Did they actually give him a script? Or is that just him talking into a microphone and they adapt the script?
It's improv and they're like, we'll make whatever character you just
come
up with.
I forgot I had an idea. You remember that last line of dialogue? Stay with.
I recall. You know the first rule of business, Mr. Phoenix?
Revive me!
It's damn what's it. In it for me.
I messed it up. I messed it up. Revive. All right.
You have to combine
stop
them.
Stop that. I should have done it in pre-production, which there's very little time to do anymore. Oh, well.
So act to the
read. Oh, well.
Thanks, that's Brett.
Yeah.
That's Brett Bott.
Yeah, I don't have anything that would insult you.
Hey, shut up.
There you go. Anywho,
Act 1 and 2 are I think are pretty strong, and they feel like they're really building up to something. Then Act 3 and 4 have some really great moments in them, but they drag a little bit, and I'm like, why are you introducing an Ice-T character when we're supposed to be wrapping up an entire trilogy? Like, I don't need this. Why is this guy showing up now?
Tower Cog.
Why is he sending me to get fuel?
It was here before you destroyed Char, and it's still standing now.
Now.
Well, since you asked, Phoenix. It's because he's going to take over the series when Marcus Phoenix dies at the end.
That's
If anybody takes over, it'll probably that's like they're setting up Drake probably to take over. I'm not saying there's anything in the plot that would make it like that. Just seems.
Why bring him in for the last game?
It's kind of like bringing in Shia LaBeouf to take over.
I was
going to
say. So does Marcus Phoenix's kerchief like blow into Drake's hands at the end during a wedding scene?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And then he just slowly slips it on, and then looks out into the sunset.
Yep. Speaking of looking out into the sunset.
Oh, but I was going to say Act three and four are a little not so great. For me anyway. Act 5 comes back strong, though it's probably not the ending I wanted for the entire trilogy, but there's a lot of cool stuff that happens in Act 5 environment wise and mission wise and you saw one of those things. It's like
that was pretty
crazy. That was like when you're like scrolling through all those thumbnails of the levels, like
what
dark looking thing, yellowy looking thing, dark looking thing, dusty looking thing.
What is this?
Oh, what is this bright blue thing?
You mentioned what? Did I fart again?
Maybe.
No.
It smells kind of like that.
I didn't. It was like hours ago.
I think it's just now reaching me.
Oh! I'm so happy to have my sound effects back that whole week. Oh, I used to have a fart sound effect. Doesn't matter. You said
you should talk about co-op because you played it. You played Beast Mode years ago at
E3. I did. But
I don't know. You played Horde Mode.
I played both.
Oh, okay. Well, they're both really good.
They're both awesome.
I mean, people have probably already
I could never get that far in Beast Mode because, you know, you earn more points to spend on different... I think beastly variations.
I mean, people know about Beast Mode, but really the thing that's cool about that is just that every monster plays differently, so it's really fun. And it's the goriest part of the game because...
I love playing as the Ticker, the fucking suicide bomber.
I think I enjoy most is the Brumac because you can't see very well, you're blind, and you're just crushing things, and the Serapy because you're just kind of crawling along and electrocuting people with your pinchers. But then the Horde mode, people all know about, like, it's more tower defensey right now, but the thing that's really cool about that is that they added the bosses. So every 10 waves, it randomly generates either a Brewmag, a Corpser, or a Reaver, and on some of those small maps, like, that's crazy, like, having a Brewmag, like, trying to get into the hotel map, like, you're holed up inside the hotel, and he's, like, trying to stick his head through the door.
But it's randomly generated?
It's always at every 10 waves. Yeah. It randomly generates which boss character you get.
Oh, I should save that one for a closer. Ready to go? I
told you. I'll say one more thing.
Okay.
About the multiplayer and just that, like, the maps are all really uniquely memorable. There's one thing on each one that I'm like, I want to play it again because of that. Because whether it's because they set up a turret right in the middle, so everybody's fighting over that turret, or whether it's the fact, like, you know, everybody knows what the fire alarm are to check out, but that spawns a secret weapon and.
Ooh.
Like, you know, the sandstorm coming in on trenches and overpass. I don't think that wasn't in the beta. Just the fact, like, the ground constantly shifts while you're playing, so, like, the actual level starts getting more and more, like, tilted and diagonal as you're trying to play across it. Just the fact that every map, which is true in Gears 1 and 2 as well, but just the fact that every map has a little fun gimmick to it that makes it not just like, we can just make, this is the green one, and this is the cave one. Like, there's always something else to them.
Well, let's go see about posting these videos and showing these people what it's like. It's late, and this thing has to be edited. Thank you very much, Charlie.
How long did we talk for?
20-something minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome. I think you should ask Michael a question about Gears 3
Michael,
in Ice-T's voice.
How Gears 3? Exactly.
Is it better than Resistance 3?
Good night,
everybody. I don't know. I've only played Resistance 3.
Good night, everybody. And taking us out, we're going to do a...
It is better than Halo Reach.
Wabba Wabba Plants vs. Zombies rap that merged this week. That, really funny.
That makes sense for Gears 3.
Shut up, man. No, you didn't suggest a song, did you? Get me a new Cold song? Coltrane song?
I think there's a song. There's the Body Count song at the end.
Ugh, we're not doing that. anywho... Yeah, let's take us out with a little Plants PBZ rap. Bye, everybody. Thanks, Charlie.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Yeah! Oh my, I'm a man.